Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, 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 what's up, everyone? Welcome to the AEW Revolution 2024 post show. It's your girl, Denise Salcedo. And of course, I am joined by one half of the California Connection, Righteous Reg. Reg, man, how are you?
In the building. It's your boy, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster. It's not Wednesday, as the intro said. It is Monday, the beginning of the week. But I'm doing great, Denise. Just watched a phenomenal pay-per-view. Very excited to talk about it. You, my friend, are not in the same boat, though. You are ready to pass out, as I've heard.
Yeah, you know, I can feel it. Like, can you see? Look at my eyes. Like, they're all messed up right now. So don't look closely. I'm going to back up, okay, everybody? So here's what's been going down with me, Reg. So the post-scrum, the presser thing, ended at 1:50-ish, almost 2 a.m. I'm going to say 1:50-ish. And I had to leave and be at the airport because my flight left at 5 a.m. I hadn't uploaded any videos yet. I was still in the building. So I literally run the hell out of the building. So if anyone saw a crazy girl in the middle of the night running past Lot K, that was me. And I almost got into the wrong car. And it was a whole thing. And I stopped and I was like, this isn't the car I'm supposed to get into. And this other woman saw me in the parking lot. She was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm okay. And so finally I found the car I'm supposed to get into and I get home, I upload my footage and I only was able to upload all of them except the Tony Khan one. Like that's how short on time I was. And so I finally get to the airport and first of all, love Greensboro Airport. There's no one there. So it's like a zombie town, well not zombie town, ghost town. And Reg, so I finally get there. I upload the last video for Tony Khan. I get that one up. And then finally, I got the stupidest, and I mean the stupidest layover that you could ever think of, Reg. I don't know why, but there was no direct flights from Greensboro to Los Angeles, like on the way over there or on the way back. So get this, man. I had to go from Greensboro, North Carolina, all right, at 5 a.m.
Okay.
To freaking Charlotte, North Carolina. That was my layover. It was less than a 1 hour flight to Charlotte. I'm in Charlotte for an hour and 40 minutes. I could have driven there. And then finally, I get on this 5 hour flight back to Los Angeles. And so that's where I'm at. I finally land here and I did nap for at least 40 minutes before the show. And then I woke up and I was like, oh, fuck, I got to do the show.
Wow, Denise. Well, thank you for joining us because you could have been like, yo, you guys, nice knowing you. I'm going to have a nice nap here. But she's here because that's what she do. The most busiest woman in wrestling media, Denise Salcedo. I clicked on the scrum earlier and it said an hour and 25 minutes. And I was like, only? What an amazing, crazy thing. I can't believe it.
I know. You know what I think really helped this time is that they had Renee Paquette kind of there sort of facilitating a little bit of it. And I was like, oh, thank God. This isn't going to go that much longer. And I actually thought that they were going to wrap it after Sting. And I was like, oh, great. I'm going to have enough time. But they were like, oh, we're going to keep going. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm going to be here for a while more. I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, fuck, I got to go.
How long did Tony talk?
I think the video, because he had two portions. He talked, he had one half and then he talked afterwards. I think it was 30 minutes. So it was way less than what he normally does, because usually it's 1 hour for four or five talents, right? It's 1 hour just for them. And then it's usually the 1 hour just for Tony Khan.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he only talked for 30 minutes after that phenomenal pay-per-view. I would think he had so much more to say. But as soon as she said Renee, I was like, oh, that makes so much more sense. She just has everything flowing so well. And I'm like, an hour and 25 minutes. Please have her at every media scrum from here on out, please.
Please do. I think that's what we need, is someone to facilitate and be like, all right, guys, two more questions. That's right. It. That's usually what, well, she technically didn't do that part of it. That was still AWPR who does that part of it where they'll be like, okay, two more questions. And I'm like, okay, good. Cause then I know exactly that two more questions is going to be like 20 more minutes. So
I was can there anything in the scrum that was newsworthy? Cause I didn't look online. I wanted to watch the show without anything. So I haven't been on Twitter. I don't know anything about anything.
Yeah. So I feel like when it came to the press scrum, the most like newsworthy stuff is really kind of course it was everything that surrounded Sting, you know, him talking about how this came to be and all of like that. I feel that one's like definitely a must watch. And then Tony Khan talking about what's going to happen with the tag titles afterwards, which he kind of said there's going to be this like March Madness type of tag team tournament that's going to be taking place. And so he talked about that. He talked about the new pay-per-view, which is Dynasty next month. And then the Will Ospreay and Tony Storm pressers are like must watch because Will Ospreay, he's almost like a kid, man. When he's very, very excited, he's so much fun to talk to. And so he's out there cracking jokes. He's literally flashing his butt. It's so funny, actually. Yeah, Reg, you need to watch this. So if you're going to watch anything, watch Things portion, watch Will Ospreay's, and watch Tony Storm's because those were definitely the best ones. Tony Storm, obviously, she's doing the whole like, reading off of a script and whatever. So she has some really funny lines in there. But Will Ospreay could be part of the California Connection and would be having like the best time, I think. He would be like the perfect third co-host in this show because he has like this very fun personality, I feel.
I mean, should we ask him to join the show? It sounds like he might be all in. No pun intended. Actually, no, it sounds like amazing. I don't want to see Will Ospreay's butt though, so I'm going to just take your word for it.
Well, I mean, it's not like his whole butt. It's just like his side, really.
I'm good.
A side with a little bit of top cheek. Like very, right. Very little. It's not really anything. But he was like, oh, you guys want to see my butt? Because that's where he got hurt. And he had like this big old giant. Like he wasn't just showing his butt for shits and giggles, you know?
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks for adding some context to it. Because I was like, something crazy was going on in this presser last night.
Yeah. See, like he says it was his butt, but like it technically wasn't his butt. That was just like this portion here.
Y'all are nasty.
Anyways, but it was fun. That was a good time. So let's go ahead and get into this pay-per-view, which a lot of people are saying was one of the very best, or if not very high up there when it comes to AEW pay-per-views. And if you are an AEW fan, you're probably sitting here going like, damn, holy shit, because we've had some really, really good ones. If you guys want to send in your thoughts, please do. You're more than welcome to send in a super chat at any point throughout the show, and we will be reading them. As always, we want to start things off by thanking Sheldon Jackson for gifting us 5 DWO memberships. Thank you so much to Sheldon. We got Roberto Arsenal who says, Will Ospreay, Swerve, Mercedes, Takeshita need to be the new revamped 4 pillars of AEW. Thank you, Sting, for the memories. Interesting. Okay. Grapple Geekery says, I loved almost everything about this show and was so fortunate to be there. Hope you enjoyed your North Carolina visit, Denise. I'm beat, hoarse, but still buzzing. Hell yeah, man. I think that's what we're sort of all running on is some sort of adrenaline. So thank you so much for that. All right. So I want to go ahead and how do you want to do this, Reg? Do you want to start off by the things we're most excited to talk about, or do you want to go in order of this card?
Maybe do it like we do it on the post show weekly of like, let's talk about the dopest stuff and then, you know, go from there.
All right. So then the dopest stuff, I think the biggest thing we have to get into then is Sting.
Stinger.
It was his night, Reg. It was a crazy, crazy main event, which I think probably had more big moments than you probably anticipated. I'm not even sure what people's anticipations really were for the match itself. I think it was just more so seeing the entire thing than anything within the actual matchup. But of course, we had this tornado tag team match with Darby Allin and Sting versus Matthew and Nicholas, the Young Bucks. Now, there was a lot that went in here, Reg. When you think of this match, how did you feel and how did you feel about how they brought out Sting, the video package, the entrance, all of that?
Denise, coming into this show, a lot of people talked about Sting. They talked about their memories. They talked about a lot of people are like, I got into wrestling because of Sting. I came back to wrestling because of Sting, like all these memories attached. So they started showing this video package, the final Showtime of Sting. He walks into this movie theater. They have this thing showing on the thing. I'm just like, this is like insane. They're showing all these great Sting memories. They're showing him reflecting the memories. It's just like a very emotional thing. Then they get to the live arena and his music hits. And then you think he's coming out as old Sting, but no, it's one of his sons. Two of his sons are dressed as his old Sting. Then he comes out. And when Tony Schiavone said, "Is Sting on the commentary, Denise?" I lost it. I was like, all right, you guys, this is a lot. This is crazy. This is emotional. Some tears were dropped from my eyes. I was like, wait, what is this salty discharge going? Like, what's going on here? This is a wrestling show. I came for anger, blood, and violence. And so at that moment, I was like, yo, this is crazy. And then immediately Darby Allin just, you know, hits that dive and it's off to the races. Everything came over me and it was back to like watching this amazing match. Denise, I watch more wrestling than anyone in the world should watch, like on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. I'm rarely lost for words. I'm rarely shocked when I see a moment, and Darby Allin diving off of that ladder onto that glass had me speechless. Like for a minute straight, my jaw was dropped and I just was watching like, what is this? My brain was like, what did I just watch? And then so like 30 seconds in, my mouth still dropped and they cut back to him and his back is bleeding. And I'm like, what is going on here? There's so many moments that happened in this match that were crazy. All these crazy table spots, Young Bucks doing. Matt Jackson saying. It was just so funny. I don't love you. I'm not sorry. I don't love you. So no, I'm not sorry. I hate you. Super kicking Ric Flair, super kicking Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. This was one of the most emotional matches I've seen in a long time, Denise, and I think it excelled. It was a 5-star match to me. Everything hit really hard. I thought Sting was insane in his last match. He's been insane in every AEW match he's had, but he was really trying to die out there. He went through glass. I was like, I've seen glass at GCW shows in person, Denise, and I'm like, this is violent. So seeing Sting, giant Sting, getting thrown through some glass was like, what is this? Denise, please tell me the emotions that were in this arena, because you guys were going insane from every moment of this.
Yeah, so it was this thing of like from the second that you got into like the vicinity of the Coliseum, everybody was wearing Sting merchandise. You have no idea how many Stings I saw. People, friends that coordinated where people were dressed as Sting and then the other friend was dressed as Ric Flair. So it felt like this very special thing. And there was one little moment in the parking lot, Reg, where it kind of put all of this together, where it was like there was this dad with his little son on his shoulders taking him to go watch this. And when you think about it, like that guy, he was probably that little kid's age when he became a little Stinger, and now here he is taking his son to go watch Sting's last match. So it was little things like that throughout, like the when you were just on the outskirts, like before we even went in, where you were like, man, like this is it. Like you're just walking around. And I've never been to a wrestling show where it's all primarily focused on one person, right, and everybody's wearing pretty much the same wrestler's gear. Like I had never experienced anything like that. So that was new within itself. But then finally, you know, we get in there but can I just say, like, I love the Greensboro Coliseum for multiple reasons. Like one, it was very easy to get in. Two, their Wi-Fi was phenomenal. And I was like, what? I was expecting it to be like horrible in here. Huh. Wi-Fi was great. Anywhere that you sit, it's kind of like the Forum, where it's just like really the two levels. So wherever you sit, it's going to be a good view. So I had really good seats and that was great. But the moment though, for this actual like main event, it was this thing where when they did the little video where he's sitting down in the movies and he's watching his career. Oh, God damn, bro. That's when I started feeling the lump in my throat. And I was like, Denise, you can't cry. Like you're going to end up a meme. Like, don't cry while you're at the show. Like
we talked about this.
Yes. If you guys had the luxury of watching at home and crying in the privacy of your own home, fuck yeah. Because inside my head, I was like, nope. Think of something else. And here's the thing. Like, I loved that Darby kicked off the match, like yeah. right away because I wasn't really expecting that, but it made a whole lot of sense because you know that the moment is really going to be afterwards. Right. And so here's some interesting moments about like what happened with some of the big spots. So that moment that you saw Sting get put through the glass table, it was like in the corner, right? So that whole area of people behind it, dude, the glass went in that whole section. Like all those people there, it was like instead of water when you're at those freaking water shows, no, it was glass. And I was told by one of my friends who was literally in that section, he was there, you know, taking pictures, social media guy. So he's very, very close to the action. He was in that spot when it actually happened. And he was telling me that Papa Buck, the Young Buck's dad, he actually got a little bit of a split from the glass, supposedly. And I was like, oh, shit. So I see everybody from like AW go and they're like trying to clean up the glass. And then there's also fans that are going and are picking up the pieces from the glass because, you know, memorabilia, of course. And so it was like kind of this little chaotic corner for a second after all of that happened. But when the Darby spot happened, I just knew, man, the second I saw him setting up that ladder, Reg, because I don't know how that looked on TV, but that ladder was freaking huge, man. Yeah. It was huge. It was like three ladders on top of each other all in one. And so he sets up this ladder and I'm looking at the, like, this isn't just a glass. On top of that, you had what? Four chairs underneath this glass and the way that it's set up and just seeing Darby go straight into that. It was insane, but it was this crazy thing. But at the same time, obviously, you just gain so much respect because if you're going to do something this nuts, I guess this is the match that you do something this nuts in. So just getting to see that, and I'm going to tell you, like, I thought Darby was done after this. After this, yeah. I was not expecting to see Darby get back up, Reg. He was on the ground the whole time, just, like, not moving. Like, how you guys saw him on TV, that's what he was like the whole time. Did not move. His back is completely bloodied up. It was like someone threw a bucket of red paint on him. Like, that's how much blood he had on his back. And so I'm going like, God damn it. Like, we're not going to see like Darby get up again. Like, I'm really nervous seeing this, right? So when he gets back up and then he does that coffin drop immediately afterwards, I'm like, dude, Reg, you've stubbed your toe. You've hit your elbow. All the people here have stubbed their toe, hit their elbow. And we're like down for 20 minutes. This man jumped off of a ladder into a glass with four chairs underneath that, got completely busted open, still got up and did more afterwards and more pain on his back. It was nuts. But the moment when Sting, you know, won, I was so happy that they went that direction, Reg, because I was like, oh, they can go the direction of getting all this heat. Right. But I'm so happy that they went this direction. This was the direction I wanted them to go into. We've said this before on our show, having Sting and Darby retire as champion. Well, not Darby, but Sting retire as champion. Like, that's freaking awesome, man. All of it I thought was great.
Yeah, I thought that moment made it feel even more special. Like, the emotion that instantly hit Sting after the three count was like, this was worth it right here. This was the right move. We don't need heat going out here. Let's have Sting go out on the highest level he can. And I thought this was the way to do it. The celebration at the end with him and his family, him calling out Tony Khan, just like all of that stuff was like, wow, this is really happening. This is really, this is the last time we're ever going to see Sting. And I thought if any moment to go out with every Darby, the Young Bucks, and the incredible thing that they did, and just Sting as a whole, this is probably the perfect way to do it, Denise. Like, how do you get better than this? Like, that was a Sting tribute. Like you said, 90% of the people in the venue are wearing his merch. There's people with his face paint. Like, we're here for you. And I thought that was just perfect. I loved it.
Yeah, man, it was so freaking awesome. I can't even lie. It was great. I was very happy to be there. And I think, like, it was so cool. Like, just seeing everybody there with their Sting merchandise, it was awesome. We have some super chats. And then afterwards, I'll get into some fun facts here because I just realized I haven't even mentioned some stuff. So let's see. Where are we at? Sorry, man. I'm all messed up today. All right. We got Tyrone Kidd who says, hey, you can't complain. You know, Ospreay a little cheeky.
Oh, God.
Well, well-rounded. Leo says, my favorite Sting match is him versus Great Muta at the 1989 Great American Bash. Thank you so much for sharing that. Oliver Drake has been a member for 13 months, as Darby going through the real glass was insane. We got Laron Ford, who says the Sting tribute was incredible. Kudos to Tony Khan for his handling of Sting's last run. This is how you treat a legend on their way out. Completely agree, man. All the respect in the world. Reg, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
And maybe also a question for everybody here in the chat. When do you think we're going to get something like this again for somebody? Somebody with such a respected career, unproblematic, that has wrestled for as long as Sting has wrestled, all the decades, all the eras of Sting. When's the next time we're going to get something like this? Because I couldn't think of anybody, at least for maybe several years from now when we're little old people, but nobody like in the near future.
You said unproblematic. Oh, yeah. Somebody said Danielson in there. I was like, you said unproblematic. I'm like, eventually that's we're going to get this. Eventually we're going to get it for Chris Jericho, but I don't know how people are going to take it. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to happen, but it's like, I don't know how people are going to react to it.
With Sting, there was also people that like, you know, like they grew up with him. Like they're bringing their children. Like this is like a whole thing. And it's like, not,
I don't know. Probably ever. Yeah. No, there's nobody that has that connection like Sting. Like maybe Rey Mysterio Jr. when he retires.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's another one. And then even then, I still feels like it's forever from now. I don't know. But I was literally thinking about this. I'm like, when's the next time something like this is going to happen?
I don't know. Sting is so unique.
Right. Grapple Geekery says there were two guys dressed as the Law and Sugar Daddy from Ready to Rumble in the crowd. Easily the best costumes in the house. I didn't see them. We got MBF who says 10-10 show. Maybe it was the blue trunks, but I realized Revolution. Joe, it's AEW's Harley Race, the perfect rough and tumble mob boss heel champion. Do you second that?
Those are some great points to be made. Thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, especially the way that he worked that match last night. Yeah, no, seriously, that's a good point.
Yeah,
and Revolution, I think, Denise, coming off of this, is that AEW's best show?
Look, it's very hard to argue against that because there have been a lot of really great shows. It's just that here's the thing, like you don't get a retirement like this every weekend. Like this is just not a thing that happens often, right? Mm-hmm. To this level. Mm-hmm. And then we're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to this, but Will Ospreay, Konosuke Takeshita. We've gotten so many great wrestling matches, so I'm not even gonna pretend like we haven't gotten some really great wrestling matches, but like, dude. You feel me, Reg? Like
no, I feel
those
you.
Those were the maybe, two big maybe things I for should. Me.
Maybe so, I should rephrase it. Is Revolution the best AEW branded pay-per-views? I didn't mean this show specifically.
Oh,
I just
meant
like when you think of an AEW pay-per-view, I think
when
Revolution
always hits.
Yeah, for like the last 3 years, like they have hit hard, and even before that, like I think Revolution might be when they have their best show.
Oh man, I don't know. I feel like. I'm going to say yes, only because we've only had one Wrestle Dream, and Wrestle Dream was really great. I did really love All Out, but it's like not all of them have necessarily hit as hard. Right. So yeah, I think you might have a case there with Revolution.
I don't know what it is. Everybody just brings it really hard for that show.
Maybe it's because it's the start of the year. Everybody's well rested.
That's true.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, not having pay-per-view in the first 2 months, it does bring something different. You're right.
Yeah, okay, cool. And I thought that was a stupid suggestion. all right, we got Dystra Figel. Thank you so much for sending in a super chat saying the show is legendary. Shout out to both of you. Cali Connection for the win. Reg is the effing man.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much. We got Rafael Garcia who says, okay, I'll say it. Sting had the best retirement match in the history of retirement matches. Sting and Stung looked just like Sting, and Sting didn't. tombstone emoji. Oh, of course not. No.
Sting and Stung is hella funny.
I know, dude. When his sons came out, I swear to God, it like I mean, obviously we know that they look like him. We know that. But when they're with the hair and the gear and everything, I'm like, yo, we went back in time. What's going on here?
Like three Stings walking to the ring was like, this is kind of spooky, you guys, but also really cool. When they got in and started hitting the Stinger splashes, I was like, this is for Sting to look and see that is probably like surreal to him.
Right. Sure, that's what I was thinking too. That was my question to him at the scrum, because think about it, Reg, can you imagine like in 20 years from now, you do something like this and you see your kids who are literally looking exactly like what you look like right now. And it's like this blast from the past of like, that's the face I used to see in the mirror every single day. Like, bro, that was my face. And now you got it.
It's probably pretty wild. Like, I used to see these little guys running around hitting Stinger splashes in the living room. Now they're helping me in my last match ever. Like, it's wild.
Yes, like that's what I was thinking about. I'm like, that's just like, I don't know. That's awesome, man. All right, we got Van Helsen Van Life, who says, I saw you. I was on the floor near DDP and Lex Luger. It was such a good show. That Darby jump was crazy. Oh, man. You know, it's very cool when you hear that people see you at the shows. I always like stuff like that. But yeah, getting to see Lex Luger come through, Magnum TA, DDP, they all passed like right literally in front of me. And it was like a, you know, it's not every day that you get to see these people. So that was very cool to see them as well.
Yeah.
We got Delayed Grats, who says we were in the Sting multiverse there for a minute. Yeah, I think so, man. We really were. We really, really, really were. All right. So let's go ahead and get into, since we're going in order of like the biggest and working our way down. We need to talk about this match, man. Will Ospreay, Konosuke Takeshita. We all knew this match was going to be good, Reg. We all knew this. We're not stupid. We know. But I don't think we were expecting it to be, holy shit, I'm jumping and flying out of my seat good. Denise, dude, how'd you feel about this?
Coming into this show, I said it's going to be hard for any match on this card to beat this match. Will Ospreay is coming in for his first official AEW match. Takeshita has something to prove every time that he has a match. There's no way that this won't be the best match of the night. And even that undersold what happened at this show, Denise. I was yelling in my room. That brainbuster on the turnbuckle, I screamed out loud.
Reg, how'd they do it? There was like no space.
I have no idea.
His head, his body, what?
I screamed out loud. Insane work here. The Tiger Driver again destroying Takeshita's brain, neck, and everything. Unbelievable. This match was so fucking good. If you want to watch one thing from a Sting retirement match, and I'm saying, yeah, the Sting shit was great. But if you want to see some world-class, two of the best wrestlers you've ever seen in your life going one-on-one, this is it. Will Ospreay, look, Bryan Danielson is the guy. We're going to get to it. Greatest of all time, my number one. But right now, the day, whatever this today's date is, whatever today's time is, the best wrestler in the world is William Ospreay. Bar none. When he gets in the ring, nobody brings it like this guy. All of his high spots hit so hard. I just watched him wrestle Michael Oku probably a week and a half ago, and it was one of the best matches that I ever seen. Last night, again, he did it with Takeshita, Denise. The false finishes in this, the emotion, the strikes, the hidden blades, the attempted his cutter thing, I can't remember the name right now, but into the Blue Thunder Bomb. This, if you want to talk about match emotions, this shit right here was how you do it. You want to bring Will Ospreay in a certain way, this is how you do it. If there was anybody, I don't know how, that didn't know who Will Ospreay was before last night and was in that building, now they're like, who is this guy? This is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. If he is not AEW World Champion by the end of 2024, it's a travesty. Somebody is bullshitting back there. That was unreal. An unbelievable match. And that brain buster again. Insane. I'm surprised. What did he say about it? Was he okay? Like, the bruise looks gnarly, but that,
dude,
was crazy.
He was like, he looked like obviously, you know, he was, his demeanor in the presser was like, oh yeah. Like, I don't even think he registered, to be honest, what he did out there.
Maybe because the adrenaline was still running through him.
Yeah, but he went out there and he was like, hey, like, hey, like, just having a good time. Like, dude, you just see what you did out there, bro? Like, or bruv, I should say. I can't explain it, Reg. Like, you got to watch the scrum and you got to see, like, you're like, this is a man who just went out there and had this incredible matchup. And he's just like, yeah, hey, what's up? You know,
I hate that. That's even worse is that, like, he destroyed it and it was just like, oh, that was just a Sunday, you guys. No big deal.
Yeah, I feel like I don't think he realized just how great the match was. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say, right? I can't speak for him, but that was just like the vibe that I got where I was like, damn, I don't know if he knows what just went out there and how we, the fans, took that in, which I'm sure because you could see it in just like the, when, but here's the thing, like when you go out there and you're constantly having such great matches all the time and you get these kind of crowd reactions all the time, you may or may not realize it. I don't know. But that was kind of like my thoughts during that. But for the match itself, man, the crowd, Reg, it was like, insane. You know, there are certain moments where I feel like everyone in the crowd is in sync, right? Like there's times where you're watching a match and you're like, oh, this match is really good. Ah, but the crowd isn't as involved in it. Or, oh, this crowd is really into this match. Ah, but you know what? I'm not really into this match, right? Sometimes things like that happen. There's disconnections. Not with this match here, Reg. With this particular match, it was like everyone in the building started fucking holding hands and we were all in kindergarten again going, yay, this is the best day ever. We're going around playing fucking Ring Around the Rosie because that is how in sync people were. They were paying attention to every single move that was being done in the ring. People wanted to know, how the hell is this going to end? What are they going to do next? Reg, I did not want this match to end. Mm-mm. I was like, I'm going to be a selfish a-hole, but they cannot. They cannot, and I mean not, stop this match. Before they started chanting Fight Forever, I was going, someone needs to start chanting Fight Forever. And then like 2 minutes later, I hear everybody going Fight Forever. And I was like, I started that. But like that was like it was an incredible thing to see. And here's my thoughts, because I got a bunch of thoughts on this. Okay. First of all, I felt bad for the triple threat or any match. And we knew that at that point, that was the match that was going to follow it. I felt bad for them because I'm like, holy shit, like having to go on after that, like that kind of sucks. That's a lot of fucking pressure to have to go and follow that match. Secondly, I feel bad because, you know, we're sitting here and we're talking about, you know, Will Ospreay becoming AEW world champion. Uh-huh. Here's the thing now, anybody is that wins the title, or we go from Samoa Joe to Will Ospreay, or if we finally get our swerve moment or whatever the hell happens there, unfortunately, it's going to feel like a transitional thing where you're like, now I know, like this is the moment, like we're just waiting to get to Will Ospreay. And that is a big, big challenge now moving forward, because you're like, this is the man that is going to be champion in this company moving forward. Then on top of that, Konosuke Takeshita, I do not want to see AEW forget about this dude again. In fact, I'm going to say it right now. He needs to win the AEW Continental Championship. He needs to win that. Give this man some gold. Make this man go on a run of a freaking lifetime. You need to reward him following that freaking match, because yeah, he lost, but let me tell you, he did not come out a loser at all in this. He came out a motherfucking winner. This was great.
We need to be seeing in a giant main event this year. I don't know how, it's still pure speculation, but Takeshita as a champion facing Okada one-on-one, because the things that he's done, they keep selling us on. He beat Kenny Omega twice. They keep selling us on the amazing year that he's had, but they didn't. It wasn't completely how it should have been. He's came through in every situation he's been put in and knocked it out of the park. This time he knocked it out of five parks. And if they forget about him off of this, Denise, we have to fight somebody.
Tony, can you fight?
Bro, you got hands or what? He showed that he be put in any position and excel and be a main event star against the best wrestler in the world. So it's time for him to get something.
Yeah, I completely agree, man. Really. All right, we got to get into these super chats here. We got Sheldon Jackson who says, I feel like Revolution made up for World's End and then some because besides the last three matches, World's End was a poo-poo pay-per-view. Yeah, that was probably our least favorite AEW pay-per-view ever, to be honest. We got Soul Channel Music who sends in a super chat. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. We got Delayed Grats who's here who says, Ospreay and Takeshita made lapsed wrestling fans or people who only watch the Fed exclusively question their life choices.
I question my life choice. I'm like, why? How come I can't do that?
Right? I was thinking that too. I mean, can't do shit, but still, I mean, like, damn. You
know. There's a lot to talk about, right? But yeah.
But no, it's just this, I don't even know what to say, man. It's just that these two guys really did just say, I don't even know what they said. They just raised the damn bar so freaking high to the point where, like, you really got to freaking work to be up at that level.
Ospreay said, here I am. Everybody in this locker room, like, you better get your working boots on because this is how it's going to be every single time. If I'm in a big match, you're going to have to fight to try to have a better big match than me. And it's almost impossible. And they already, on the post-match, Kyle Fletcher came out. Announced him versus Kyle Fletcher for Dynamite. He doesn't want to take a break, Denise. He's right back into going to be another insane match.
Have they already put out a graphic for that? Because I think Tony Khan kind of like said first he had to make sure that Will Ospreay was like okay to compete for that.
There was a graphic on the show, like, you know how they do it.
Oh, okay, yeah, because he said this in the presser afterwards. So I won't be surprised if, like, I don't know. But Will Ospreay was like, no, I'm getting paid, so how, you know, I'm here to work. So I don't know. There seemed to be a little bit of some miscommunication there for a second where I was like, so is this match happening or is it not happening? What's going on here? Whatever.
Tony's like, do you want to take a nap, dude? And he's like, no, dude, I want to work. Put me on Wednesday. Will Ospreay's going to be wrestling on Wednesday. I believe it.
Reg, let me ask you a question. You're in the back. You're a wrestler. You're talented AF. You want to be a big star because everybody wants to be a big star. I'm freaking scared right now. No lie. I'd be scared right now. I'd be like, I gotta go. Gotta compete against that. Fuck.
No. I think most of these guys back here, the hungry ones are like, let's fucking go. They're ready. They're like, oh, is that what we're doing? That's what I want to do. I want to be in that same position. I want to be in there against Will Ospreay. No, there are wolves back there, Denise. Ready to attack, and this is just adding on to it.
Yeah, I'm happy that you say that because it can be scary because you're like, holy shit, like I gotta measure up to that kind of elite level. But at the same time, if you believe in yourself, then you gotta believe you gotta compete against the very best, and that's the very best right now. And do not ignore Kinosuke Takeshita.
No.
There was another thing that I wanted to say, and now I completely forgot. Damn it. I'll get to that. All right. Wrestle Voice says the section I was sitting in was in awe of Ospreay versus Takeshita. They surpassed that Will versus Oku.
Brian Danielson and
Thank
Zach
you.
Saber Jr. Yeah.
Guys, I'm running on no sleep. My mind's just like all messed up. Reg, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I'm all messed up.
You guys give Denise a break. Yes. Russell Voice, I think that match was better than those two matches. It might be recency bias, but I'll have to watch all three again. But incredible work from both of them.
Dystra Fajal says, I was present in Toronto for Ospreay versus Omega 2. AEW hit a home run signing. His matches are something special. Reg hit the nail on the head.
Sure did. What a signing, Denise. And we got potentially the best Japanese wrestler today coming in also.
I remember what I was going to say now. Oh, gotcha. During this match with Will Ospreay and Kinosuke Takeshita, I swear to God, I could hear freaking Tony Khan's freaking wallet going cha-ching, cha-ching.
I bet you he had a giant smile on his face in the back. He's like, oh, brother. Probably had his legs kicked up, some sunglasses on. He's like, oh, we're off to the races. Do you feel like somebody said this in the chat, Denise? Like, this was kind of like a reboot. I felt like this was like a closing a chapter on this stage of AEW, and we're starting a new one off of what happened.
I hope so, because a lot of the conversation surrounding AEW in the last couple of weeks, even from fans, or maybe last couple of months, wasn't good.
Right. Yeah. No, they had to do some goodwill and let the fans know that AEW is exactly what you think it is, and it is an alternative, and we're going to give you this stuff. Starting with the Continental Classic, I think that was like, look, you guys, we've heard you. We know what's going on. Here's that heat. And this pay-per-view last night was like, this is what y'all can expect this year. So we're off to the races.
Christopher Marino says, I'm still here for Swerve versus Ospreay for the title at an AEW All In. Dude, that would be freaking awesome.
I don't know if I can handle it at this point.
MVF says, Revolution was AEW's official return to its sports-based in-ring alternative roots. Super excited for 2024. Good to add on April pay-per-view for better builds. Yeah, I think so, man. We were just talking about this not too long ago on our show, Reg, where we're like, there's so many pay-per-views towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. The, you know, it's looking a little empty in the start of the year.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're adding some things. Are you going to St. Louis, Denise?
I don't know. I have to check the flights.
I want to, but flights are crazy at this time. And that's really
close. Did you check already?
I haven't checked yet because this is pretty new, right? They just announced it last night.
Oh, yeah, because I haven't checked anything. And I'm like.
But it's so close to Philadelphia. I can't talk about that other company on this show. AEW, baby. Go to Dynasty, baby. That's where it's all at.
Wait, but Philadelphia is like the freaking not Philadelphia. WrestleMania is like a whole like 3 weeks before that.
You can't say that on this show. I'm going to be at Supercard of Honor. I don't know about the rest of y'all.
Wait. Why can't we say WrestleMania on this show?
This is an AEW podcast, Denise. What do you think this is? You can't be just be saying the other show. This isn't a WWE show.
Fine then. The other people, the other company. Mm-hmm. God. But anyways. Philadelphia and the event occurring in Philadelphia is early in the month. And then the St. Louis Dynasty event is later on in the month.
What do you think? I have $1 million man, Ted DiBiase or Richie Rich out here. I can't afford to be just going and flying on jet planes and flights all the time. Denise, what do you think this is?
Oh, man. Yeah, I feel you. Virgil. I feel you. Crazy 101 says, hey, guys, Revolution was lit. Darby is wild. 1 out of 10? Question mark. I would say this pay-per-view. Like, here's the thing, the two things, the main event and the Will Ospreay match really, for me, were the best things of the show and gave it, like, that's what gets the show 10 out of 10. But there was some other stuff on the show that I didn't feel as strongly about.
Yeah, I feel like it was a 10 too, but there were some things that I didn't love, but I don't think they were enough for me to not make it a 10.
Right, there you go. Yeah, I feel you. Crazy 101 says, thoughts on Santana leaving AEW. Unfortunate. Dude, when AEW started, I was the biggest LAX fan. The biggest, yeah, because I loved
all of us were pretty much.
Yeah, they were freaking great, and it felt like they really were going to be the tag team, like the tag team. And their run in AEW just was not what I expected. Now, I don't know what ended up happening between both of these guys. You know, we've just heard rumors and stories and whatever, right? But we haven't heard anything from their individual mouths. So I don't know what happened there, but I personally kind of feel bummed because they were on the precipice of really being something special. And it just went downhill, man. I almost wish they would have stayed in Impact.
Yeah, Denise, I think when AEW started, there was like 5 or so teams that we were like, this is going to be the most insane tag division of all time. And Santana and Ortiz were in that team. We were like, yo, they're going to kill it out here. And so, I don't know what happened. Like you said, we don't know anything specific. It seems like some personal things that nobody will ever really know or get to the bottom of were happening back there that prevented them from really excelling as a tag team, and injuries and other things also played a part. But yeah, it's really probably one of the most unfortunate things of when this alternative was created and the people that we thought that were really going to shine. He was one of them that I thought Santana, even off of that, remember he came back and he had the thing at All In and he had like, it looks like he was going to be something, but it just didn't work out. So hopefully he, you know, in his future endeavors, he gets to excel. He's a hardworking, grinding, hungry ass dude. So I'm sure wherever he goes, he's going to make it work.
Yeah, hopefully, man. Hopefully. We'll see what happens. We got MVF Most Valuable Fighter here who says, want to give some love to Mox, aka my favorite wrestler. The guy makes the most out of every opportunity and never complains. He's my Dusty. Dude, look, like, Moxley is freaking awesome. They rely on him a whole lot. He still hasn't gone on his vacation. Poor guy. What can we say? Nothing but respect there. Russell Voice says Ospreay versus Swerve is going to change lives.
Honestly.
Shelton Jackson says, also can't forget the post-match with Will and Kyle doing the United Empire crowns up post on Dawn trying to split the United Empire, who's only united them even more when they turn on Dawn's family. Completely agree. And I think for the most part, a lot of us pretty much expected that. So thank you so much to Shelton. And we got Broadway Joe here who says, to think in some hellish universe, Ospreay had an 8-minute match with Ciampa and in a DQ this week, not ours though. I'd have Will beat Joe at Wembley, then Swerve beat Will late 2024.
There's a lot of scenarios that can go into what's happening this year. I think a lot of stuff is going to get flipped and changed because people are going to get hot and things are going to happen. It's an exciting time, honestly.
Crazy 101 says, had a feeling Darby Sting were going to win because the tag titles are the only titles that had not had a new look. Tag tournament about to be lit.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the tag team tournament. Speed Punk says, hell yeah, they used real glass. Let's effing go.
That's what's really unfortunate about this. We just talked about Santana, Denise, and they're having this tag team tournament and they're not going to be a part of this. It's like, it doesn't feel right.
MVF, Most Valuable Fighter, says Kyle Fletcher is the next Ospreay 2026.
Yeah, agreed.
Getting them predictions in. We love it. All right, guys, we're going to continue going on. Of course, if you have your questions, your comments, your statements, your hot takes, your opinions, send them in. It helps us out a whole lot. All right, so honestly, from here, I'm kind of debating like which direction we should go in because there was a lot of good stuff. So let's just kind of work our way backwards. Let's get in. Actually, we need to get into the AEW World Championship match. That seems like what we need to get into next. Samoa Joe retains. Hangman Adam Page, he freaking tapped out. And it seems like he may have done it not just to save himself from some pain, but to stop Swerve Strickland from becoming AEW World Champion. This was a very fun match that unfortunately had to follow a really great match, but they went out there, the crowd was excited, and I thought that they kept the crowd very, very engaged throughout the entire thing. What'd you think, Reg?
Yeah, I love this match a lot. I thought there was a lot of really fun elements, specifically Hangman killing it up for a lot of it, kept knocking out all the referees, pounding them on the back of the head. Just this whole dynamic in the match I thought was fun. But legit, my favorite part about this match was the urgency that Samoa Joe showed. Like legit, every pinfall he was either trying to be involved with or like some way trapped up to, like, he was like, you guys are not going to take my championship and I'm going to be the reason that all these pinfalls are broken up. The urgency that he was showing, the way that he was working in his face, like Samoa Joe's matches now are like, he's the big dog. He just like, he gets in there. He, you know, he's chill. He's relaxed. He has swag. He'll slam you, look around. This match, he was like on his toes the whole time. Like, these guys could beat me and I could not be involved with this. So I just love the urgency that he showed in this. Swerve, oh my God. You guys in that crowd wanted him to win so bad. Every time that he had a near fall, every time that he was on the defense, if he was getting beat up, you guys are mad about it. If he was on offense, you guys are excited about it. This was his match to win. His entrance gear with that jacket was sick. The gear that he was wearing was amazing. Like,
dude, Prince Nana's jacket too looked phenomenal.
Fly, the green. Flyest guys in the world. This looked like a world champion, Denise. I was like, at moments, they got me good. I was like, oh, Swerve's winning. We got this. We're off to the races. Let me stand up and cheer. But that's how good this match was and how good the false finishes were. Hangman's buckshots were crazy, and all of his lariats in this match were insane. This was a really fun match, Denise. And yeah, it was just only unfortunate that the crowd was a little bit not as great as they would have been, considering they just blew their whole load in the match before this. But I thought that everything was great. And I thought this was a great way to keep everybody looking strong in a triple threat match, especially with the story that they're telling with Hangman of, did he tap out because he wanted to, or did he tap out so Swerve didn't get the belt? Also, he's a big heel. He might have to be suspended for beating all the refs' ass. Like, this was a great
double turn in this match.
Double turn. And again, Samoa Joe looks strong as hell in this.
Also, my fun fact was, on my way back, Samoa Joe was on my flight. Not the one to LA, but the shitty one. The one from freaking, where was I at? Greensboro to Charlotte.
You did tell me about somebody was on your flight there, though, right?
Yeah. Should I mention that on the air?
Yeah, what do you mean? Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I should mention that on the
air. Why not? What are you talking about? This is the whole show. Come on, Denise.
Okay, well, here we go. This is my biggest fun fact, and I wasn't even sure if I should mention it on the air. But, so I'm on my way to Revolution. My flight was from LAX to Dallas, and then from Dallas to Greensboro, because like I said, there's no direct flights. You will not believe who was on my flight from Dallas to Greensboro. Any guesses? Any guesses? The Reg knows. Reg knows the answer. It's Sting!
Like, why wouldn't you say that on the show, Denise? It's about Sting. You were on the flight with Sting. It's not like some secret or something like, oh, Sting was there. Like, he was a surprise. No, it's Sting.
But isn't that fucking crazy? Like, literally, I was standing there waiting to get on my flight, and I was in group 7. And I was like, I hate being in group 7, right? So I'm standing there, and they're calling the people. And then all of a sudden, like, my husband, I was looking down, and my husband goes, Denise, he's like, Sting's running, like, Sting's in the front. And I was like... I look up and I was like, oh shit, and like inside my head, I was like, oh shit, Sting's in our flight. You know, and like you would never know that was my reaction, right? Because I just looked up and I was like, you're not gonna be a fucking mark right there at the airport.
You gotta play it cool. Yeah, you can't be a mark. You gotta be like, oh, cool, whatever.
Right, you're not gonna no, but by the way, I was very happy to see, like, even though there were so many fans on the plane, no one bothered him. No one went up to him. Like, wow. I mean, and we were literally, I mean, I don't know when they passed by him because he was literally like sitting right there in first class in the aisle seat. So like, I don't know when the rest of the people passed by, but like, I didn't hear anything happening. And it wasn't until people got to the poor people section, my section, where people were like, yo, did you see that was Sting? Sting was up there. Sting was up there. So like all the fans in the back were like, yeah, I just saw Sting was up there.
That's really cool for all those people taking this flight to go see Sting. And then, oh, actually Sting's here on the plane.
Right. Like, what are the chances to that? And I was like, you know, it was just crazy. And he looked great, man. He looked great. And I was thinking like, what the hell? You know what else was crazy? You know what else was on my flight? Sting was on this flight with me. And there was a nun on this flight too. And I was like, what are the chances? I'm in a flight with a nun and with Sting.
That actually sounds more, that actually sounds like it works, you know, Sting and a
right.
nun.
Right. Yeah, it was crazy.
You had a blessed fight, Denise. That fight was not going to go down. You were like, this is the safest fight I think I've ever been on in my whole life.
Literally. And I just thought, like, you know, that's freaking cool, man. Like, I thought that was very cool to, like, kind of experience and get to say, you know, like, oh, I was on Sting's flight to his last match. You know, like, that's pretty cool.
And you're a big Sting fan, too, Denise. So, like, this is all wild, honestly. I was just like,
It was funny too, because at the end of the flight, I was like, damn, I feel like going up to the nun and getting a blessing. But she was like talking to a bunch of people. I think a bunch of people were trying to get some blessings.
Like, do you have a bottle of holy water in your bag or what? Just like...
She was so sweet. She was like the perfect little nun too, like super old, very like pure looking. I was like, girl, I need to get myself a blessing. But she was all the way in the front though, so I couldn't get my blessing.
Yeah,
but
leave her alone.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to bug her. Imagine she's like trying to travel.
Denise has a nun Funko Pop that she's trying to get signed at the airport.
Oh, man. Yeah, so those are my two on the way over Sting and on the way back Samoa Joe.
That's hard. California, that's what you get.
No, but Samoa Joe wasn't on my second flight, though. He was on my first flight.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, he wasn't on my long flight. He was on the short flight with me. All right, let's see what else I got here. All right, we got to get into these super chats. Crazy 101 says Jay feud with Okada ? He teased something. I didn't see.
When did he tease that? Oh, he did. Yeah, I saw a gif of him saying, he was like talking to the camera. He's like, what if I have my own big business or something like
that? Oh, yes, you're right. Yeah. He did say that. He did say that. Yeah, I remember now. Thank you. Crazy 101 says Joe versus Wardlow at Dynasty and then Wardlow versus MJF at Double or Nothing. We've seen Samoa Joe versus Wardlow.
Denise was immediately not in.
Okay, can we get into that match? I'm sorry. You know what? Let's get into that match because I have some complicated feelings about this. So,
same.
This was the 8-man all-star scramble match. So, Reg, you watched Revolution on your own time, okay? I texted you, and I was like, hey.
Oh, that was the match you were talking about.
Yes.
Now I said, the dots are connected.
I said, how did this match come across on TV? And you're like, oh, I'm going to watch live later on, right? And you're watching live, whatever. And I was like, God damn it. All right. But I didn't tell you what match. I didn't say what match because I didn't want to spoil it for you. Now, my pet peeve for this all-star eight-man scramble is, I don't know what it looked like for the TV audience, okay? I hope for the TV audience it was great. But for the live audience, my biggest pet peeve, you have eight men, Reg. Two are doing something in the ring, and all the other ones on the outside are just doing this.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing. And it really took away from the live experience. And I'm like watching the guys watch the match. Completely kind of ruined the match for me from a live perspective. I think if I were watching the match on TV where I'm not seeing this stuff and I'm only seeing the action, maybe it would have hit differently. But my live experience of this match was not what I had anticipated.
This was the only not great thing on the card, honestly. Too many guys. Eight guys is way too many guys for a scramble if you're going to do exactly what Denise described here. Because most of the match wasn't eight guys fighting at a time. It was two guys fighting or four guys fighting. Well, where's the other guys at? I know where they're at. They're on the apron doing the little waiting for their spot thing. And that just doesn't – I could feel that energy on the television. The pacing on this match was not good at all. Like, I don't know what – like, it was happening, and I was like, oh, something feels off. And it was like they were trying to give up the big meaty man. They're still trying to do the Meat Madness match, but, like, in the midst of this, and it just, like, you should have just gave us that.
For guys that weren't meaty. I was like, what are we doing, Greensboro?
Yeah, I mean, they should have just had the four Hobbs, Cage, Wardlow, and Lance Archer do a four-way and just go at it like that. Because that's kind of what I felt like the fans wanted. And so they were trying to mix in all this other stuff, and everything just was not really clicking for me. It wasn't an awful match. It was just like, okay, I understand. I like spots in this. Too many guys are everywhere. I know Wardlow's winning. Like, there was moments that I liked, but then there was moments that I didn't like. This was the only match on the show that I was like, all right, it wasn't the best. I would have booked it a way different way. And I didn't really understand moments, but I understand how they got there and why they got there.
Right, right. So yeah, for me, it just wasn't the live experience of this match and seeing, I was literally watching just like Wardlow chill and drink water. Right. And then I was watching Chris Jericho the whole time, like this on the freaking apron. And then all the other guys on the outside chilling like this. And I was like, oh man. Like,
my big homie looks cool at least. Like, Powerhouse Hobbs got his shit off. He was in there cooking. People loved him. Like, that part of it I liked. But the rest of it, I was like, keep it.
Yeah, yeah. So that was just my little issue with it. We got Speed Punk here who says, since they like factions in AEW, I think a team of UK wrestlers would be cool. With Will as a leader, Pac is back, so add him with Kip would be awesome. Dude, we haven't even talked about Pac. He's going to be coming back. They didn't say when, though, did they?
When's Pac coming back?
Oh, they didn't say, but this was on the pre-show. They did like a little video and stuff. It was on the pre-show. So it's coming back.
Very soon. I've heard some
things. Yeah. Okay. Dijstra Fajal says, amazing show, sending love to you both. Swerve for the win. I was debating if I should go for the win or FTW.
Yeah.
Tyrone Kidd says, it looks like Swerve's gear was a tribute to Kofi. Ah, was it?
It was not confirmed. It was a tribute to, I'll find out.
Laron Ford says, the eight-man scramble in the women's tag match on 0 hours should have swapped places on the card. Yeah, honestly, either one would have been fine. Crazy 101 says, also Mariah May dressed like Tony was trippy. I agree. That kind of threw me off for a bit. Dave Park 14 says, Bucks clear page is fine. They then reunite to take the trios from the Acclaim, then have Bullet Club Golds versus the Elite in a winner-take-all trios belt. Honestly, I just want to see something interesting happen with the Bullet Club Gold and everything they're doing with that. So I'll sign up for anything. Although they did announce, I forgot to mention this, Reg, in the press conference, Darby Allin versus Jay White is supposed to be
Dynamite?
On Dynamite. Yeah.
Ooh, wait, there it is. They were talking all that shit about Jay White. Get Jay White somewhere now.
I was talking all that shit. I was like, get Jay White somewhere. What are we doing with this whole bang, bang, scissor? Blah, blah, blah. I don't even care.
After that pre-show match, I was like, please get Jay White out of here. I'm happy they got him out of there. Yeah, for sure. Yes. And the Swerve gear was Kraven the Hunter inspired. I don't know what Kraven the Hunter is, but that's what he based his gear on.
Oh, okay. I don't know either. Okay. So I'm like, if you don't know, I don't know. This is probably, is it like a video game thing?
I think it's anime, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Don't know anything about anime, so I'm out. All right, let's continue on and get into some other actions that went down. Damn, let's go. We were just talking about the women's match, so let's go to that one. We got Toni Storm versus Deonna Purrazzo, and Timeless Toni Storm tricking us by having Mariah come out as her old Toni Storm self. And that tripped me off for a second. I thought she was doing that on purpose for like a split second. I was like, what the hell? And then I realized that it was Mariah because, and this is probably a girl thing, but it was the hair, her type of hair that she has, where I was like, oh, that's Mariah May. But from far away, like, you know, I don't know how they showed it on TV, but from far away, it took a little bit longer, probably.
Yeah, now for about 15 seconds, I was like, there's Toni Storm. She's doing her old gimmick again. Like, I was locked in.
Look exactly the same. This was a very good match. This was a very good match. I thought they went out there. They freaking killed it. Of course, Toni Storm retained. Getting to see her do all of her little bits in person was very fun. I mentioned the press conference was very fun as well. I don't know. There wasn't anything too crazy that I feel I need to add about this match.
Yeah, I thought this was just a straightforward, really great women's title match. Toni Storm. The crowd for Toni Storm is just like, she's still so over and she's going to continue to be over. Like, they love her shtick, her music, everything about her. They're just so in. But I thought Deonna excelled in this position. Like, the build up to this was one of the best of the whole pay-per-view of the whole company. So I thought that they executed exactly what they needed to do. Deonna hasn't been in too many like sold out big giant venues. So she, I thought she did a really great job of like, this is kind of my introduction to AEW on the biggest scale against the biggest challenger for the championship. Really good stuff. And Toni Storm, I mean, she's so over. Like, where does this go from here? Is Mariah May going to be the one to beat her? Seems like that might be the story to tell, but there's some other contenders here. I liked it a lot.
I think that's the story to tell right now. But of course, next week, is it next week already or the week after? Nope, the week after is when we got to get into big business. And we'll talk about the landscape there with the women in AEW. All right, let's keep it going. Matches we haven't talked about. Blackpool Combat Club versus FTR tag team match. This was pretty much everything that I expected. Blackpool Combat Club gets the win. I don't really know that I have too much to say about this match, Reg.
You feel exactly the same way you did on Wednesday, right?
Like, nothing changed. I didn't really care too much going into the match.
Denise didn't care really off prep, so she was never going to care. This was awesome, though, Denise.
It
this
was like good, but I've seen this. Fine, whatever.
It was a really good, like, Southern-style tag match. It was like an FTR specialty, and if you, like, are okay on FTR specialties, I understand why. Like, oh, it's okay. But like the things that they did here, the intensity, Claudio was going crazy. That doomsday climbing European uppercut shit was crazy. Dax was trying to break his neck the whole time. Cash Wheeler's tope that he does is one of the best. Like, this was all the elements that the build up to this, I was like, why are they even doing this match? What's kind of the motivation? It's because I hadn't seen this match yet. So I saw this match and I was like, oh, I understand what all that kind of fuss and hubbub was about. It was about trying to get the best out of everybody in this match. The winner was probably the surprising thing to me. This was like the only match on the card that like I kind of predicted wrong. I was like, pretty sure that FTR is going to go
for this match. Turns out I was right.
Yeah, I mean, I was like going into what the main event was going to be and what I think that they were going to do with the tag team championships. Like, they're probably going to set up FTR with a big win here so they could be contenders for this thing. But I mean, I guess they're trying to get Moxley a different championship because it's looking like BCC is on their way. But yeah, I understand why you didn't like it. You didn't love it, Denise. But this was like, if you love tag team wrestling, this was that shit.
I was just kind of there. I was just existing. Roderick Strong, Orange Cassidy for the AEW International Championship. You called it here, Reg, on the show where you said that, where do you go from here with Orange Cassidy as a champion? Kind of feels like he's seen it, been there, done it all with him as champ. Roderick Strong has gotten some, you know, some life in him with the whole Adam thing. And now he's, you know, of course, part of the Undisputed Kingdom. Seems like they needed a little extra sugar. So there you go. He's now the AEW International Champion. How'd you feel about this?
I thought this was another badass match. Like, I like this match a lot. I know that people have kind of been they have Orange Cassidy fatigue is what I want to call it, of like,
do we they love really?
I've been seeing people say that, like, we love Orange Cassidy, but it's just too much. And it's not Orange Cassidy fatigue. It's him as international champion fatigue. And that's fine. I understand that. So I kind of knew what the result was going to be here, but the work in this was badass. People forget, because Roderick Strong came in trying to establish his character more. Like, if you know Roderick Strong, you already knew he was one of the best wrestlers in the world. So he didn't need to come in and be like, bam, bam, bam. Cause we already knew that. He wanted to come in and establish this character, get people into him in a different way. But this match was like, I'm Roderick Strong, the Messiah of the Backbreaker, the guy that you used to love. That Tilt-A-Whirl Backbreaker onto the turnbuckle and Orange body flopped everywhere. Awesome, awesome, awesome work. But we know what the real meat of this story was. After the match, out of nowhere, shout out to Randy Orton, Kyle O'Reilly shows up to the shock of the world. He's in there. He's looking like he's been in a forest somewhere training for his comeback. And so they tease this little thing as, is he back? They try to give him a shirt. He didn't take it. But I loved the match. I thought it was awesome. But seeing Kyle O'Reilly back here is the best part, because nobody got heart like Kyle O'Reilly. Before he went out, like, he was positioning on his way to be one of the best wrestlers in the company. This guy, if he's back full time, like, you better watch out. Another top contender for this roster.
Right. Like, I wasn't even sure, like, if we were going to see Kyle O'Reilly come back, because he had posted a little bit of, you know, his situation on social media. And, like, based off of that, I was like, are we going to see Kyle O'Reilly come back? And so when he came out, like, it almost took me a second with all of the hair. I was like, damn, like, what's going on there? I couldn't see super up close, but I'm assuming he had facial hair going and everything, like, longer than usual. Okay. Yeah. So from far away, I could just see, like, all of the hair. But I was very happy just to see him go out there and him not taking the shirt. I'm like, okay, good. This is going to add some story into this whole Undisputed Kingdom thing that has been lacking a story. So happy that they're adding that whole element to it. All right. Let's keep it going. We got two more matches on the main card to get into, and that is Eddie Kingston and Bryan Danielson. This was for the Continental Crown Championship. And I think that everybody really enjoyed this match, because this is pretty much what you were expecting, a hard-hitting bout. Bryan Danielson working the arm of Eddie Kingston throughout this entire match. There was some fun stuff in here, Reg. How'd you feel about it?
This match got my juices flowing off the rip of this pay-per-view. Bryan Danielson, we all know, I talked like that about Will Ospreay earlier, the greatest wrestler of all time, Bryan Danielson. And reasons like this is why. They've had this match before. He's wrestled Eddie Kingston. We saw it in the Continental Classic, but this match was way different than that. It's billed as a respect match, pretty much. If Bryan Danielson loses to Eddie Kingston, he has to shake his hand. And the disrespect that he was showing, the shitty little heel that Bryan was being, was perfect in this. Just him trying to break down Eddie Kingston's body, prove that he really is the bum that he thinks he is, was great. But Eddie Kingston in this was phenomenal, I thought. He was the fighting spirit was really showing. His suplexes, his strikes were insane. The spinning back fists were just disgusting. He was destroying Bryan Danielson. And I thought that his strategy of just really trying to get Bryan off guard, throwing him in different positions, kind of get his brain off thing, and end up getting the win was awesome. Like, in this show with all these incredible matches, like, after this match was over, I was like, oh, I think we're on to some kind of all-timer of a show. They ended up doing it. But this was, like, a great way. Seeing Bryan Danielson as the second match, like, Bryan Danielson in the second match, this is kind of wild. He did what he did, and then still there were better matches than this. Insane. Great show. An amazing way for Eddie Kingston to get his handshake finally from Bryan Danielson. I loved it.
Yeah, the handshake bit was pretty fun to see that as well. I still want to see Bryan Danielson get some gold in AEW. It feels like it's not going to happen. I feel like we're getting further and further from that, but I'm still secretly hoping for it. So we'll see if it ever happens. The last match we need to get into is the TNT Championship match. And this is with Christian Cage defeating Daniel Garcia. And this was the opener of the night. And people were really behind seeing Daniel Garcia possibly win this match. But of course, it wasn't going to happen. Christian Cage defeats him. How'd you feel about the matchup itself?
I thought it was a really good, smart work match here. Christian Cage kind of taking control. That's probably my favorite part, is Christian Cage was like, I talk all that shit. I do a lot of shenanigans. I'll talk about people's dead dad. But when I'm in the ring and I'm being a ring general, there's not a lot of people better than me. Over the years, people have said Christian's one of the most underrated wrestlers, like, of all time, just because of the work that he does, the little things that he does. And I thought it really shined here. He took the veteran role. He had Daniel Garcia in different positions he's never been in. Daniel Garcia was fighting from behind the whole time. But I thought the story of the crowd just being so into Daniel Garcia and wanting him to get this win was the story of it, of him using y'all's energy to try to defeat Christian. But all the elements, Kill Switch and Nick Wayne and his fine ass mom, like all these things are just like things you can't defeat Daniel Garcia. Really fun way to start the pay-per-view, and it shows the where Daniel Garcia has gotten from a year ago. I thought it was a really great showing.
The whole match, Reg, I was trying to get a picture of Shayna, but she was on the opposite side, so I couldn't get a picture of her. And then finally, towards the end, I was like, here's my picture. It's going to be specifically for Reg. And then the lights go down, and I was like, damn it, I didn't get my picture for Reg.
Come on, Denise. You got to be quicker than that.
I know. I dropped the ball, man. I dropped the ball. I thought that what was really funny was how good of a reaction Daniel Garcia got when he literally just, like, thrusted his junk into Christian Cage's face where he had the turtleneck above him. Like, the pop that got was kind of insane. So that was something that stood out to me during this. But, you know, Daniel Garcia, he's working his way up that ladder. He's still, you know, he's getting there, man. The dance really got over. He got himself over in the Continental Classic. And look at him. Now he's opening up a show here on Revolution against Christian Cage. So this was another fun little opener. I don't know if I would have chosen it as the opener. I guess it ended up working out. But
I probably would have switched the first and the second match. I probably would have had Brian and Kingston.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I kind of felt that way too, because even though, like, the crowd was into this match, I thought it took a second to, like, really get going. And I actually kind of felt like it was a little bit too long for given how many matches we have on the card. I was kind of like, they could have trimmed a couple of minutes off of this one personally. That's kind of how I felt about it. But other than that, that was pretty much this show. We got a super chat here from Dystra Fajal, who says, a great scene. Kyle back. Danielson is the effing best. I mean, agreed to both of those statements as well. All right. So that is where we're at, man. Also, I do want to address one thing, because someone said they're kind of over Christian being champion. Are you feeling this way? Because it kind of seems like we're not really sure what the end game here is going to be, because I don't know that I want to see Luchasaurus defeat Christian Cage for it. I don't think that's really what I want to see. Nick Wayne's not there. I want to see Nick Wayne stay with Christian Cage.
I feel like the story they're trying to tell is old Adam Copeland's going to be the one to defeat him for the championship and maybe continue on the TNT Open Challenge thing, because he's already kind of establishing this Open Challenge thing.
I don't think I really care Collision. About seeing that. I'm so, was that too blunt? It just doesn't have me rocking my boat, man. It just doesn't rock my boat. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, okay? I haven't slept. This is the most honest I'm going to get right now. I'm sorry. Am I the only... I don't know what to say. I'm not that interested.
I just can't.
I'm just digging my hole deeper, Reg. Speak. Speak before I dig my hole so deep I can't come back.
I just couldn't. That was just so funny. I'm just, like, trying to tell this story. Maybe this is where they're going. I just don't care about that, though.
I just don't. I'm sorry. I'm just so much more interested in some of the other talent that they have.
Ooh, that's funny. It's understandable, but people like Copeland is where they want to go with this. And continuing, like, him against the young guys, I think is kind of the way to go. But Daniel Garcia, before the end of the year, will be TNT champion. I believe that.
All right. Cool. We're feeling this. All right. Well, that, my friends, was AEW Revolution 2024. A pretty fun, exciting show that we had. Any last thoughts, Reg? Anything we didn't get out there that we needed to get out? I'm hoping that we didn't miss anything.
I think we got it all. Yeah, one of the best AEW pay-per-views of all time. I'm sad that I didn't pull up to Greensboro to watch it. It looked like an amazing time. The most fitting way of all time to have Sting go out. I love the tribute. I loved all the tributes. The go home show or whatever. The countdown show is the word I'm trying to think of. The countdown show with them showing the tribute was great. The tribute before the match, him talking after the match, all of it was amazing. And I'm happy that Sting got to get that send off like that with his kids there, his family in the crowd. Like, just perfect, man. I'm so happy for Sting, and I hope that his retirement is everything that he wants. And if that consists of him just sitting at home and eating chips all day, I hope that's what it is. Because he's for 40 years, Denise, he's been on the road. Like,
hey, he earns that,
on the
man.
Road no more. Yeah, eat some chips, man. Eat
exactly, some exactly. Alrighty, everyone. Before we head out, just if you haven't already, on this channel, I do have all of the pressers that are up right now, so you guys can check out Sting's final press conference, you know, getting to have talking about this big moment, the last match and everything. That was really cool to see. So you can check that out. Really funny pressers with Will Ospreay and Tony Storm, if you guys want to watch those. Samoa Joe, obviously super, he's Samoa Joe. So that's what you're going to get from that. And was there another one? Oh yeah. Tony Khan, talked for about like 30 minutes. I stitched both of those, the first half of his speech and the second half of his speech together. So if you guys just want to hear like the newsworthy portions of that, you can check that out too. That's all up here on the channel. I also posted a video of the off-air segment with Sting. That's up here on the channel as well. So check all of that content out. Give it some love. That is how I make my money back off of these trips. So please go and check out those videos. Reg, damn it, why am I hitting everything? All right, nice. Reg, what do you got going on, man? What's the plan?
It's just a regular week. You know, you can catch me every Wednesday with Denise here on the AEW Dynamite post show. It's March. It's Women History Month. So we're going to do all women's edition of Indeed this month. All the guests haven't been announced yet, but we're getting into it. It's definitely dope. You want to check that out. And if you didn't check out any of the Black History Month stuff that I did with Indeed, incredible. I ended it the most perfect way with indie legend Ruckus. So if you haven't seen that, go check out the Indeed page, Fightful Overbooked. Every Saturday, you catch me with Philip Lindsay, Grapsity Podcast. Ask Grapsity was last week. Thursdays, I'm on with Kate, and that's it.
All right, guys. So make sure to check back here on Wednesday. Reg and I will be here to talk about AEW Dynamite. And of course, I'll be here tomorrow for some NXT conversation. SmackDown on Friday and Collision on Saturday. Don't know what's happening anymore, but thank you guys so much for everything. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.